It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors.
Welcome to FM
with
Talk
reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward. And,
you know, we had Captain Bobby Amoscato on with us last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we turned around and went fishing with them.
We did.
So we're going to talk about that. Also, our guest on that fishing trip, Easton Barrett, that we talked to at the Mobile Boat Show. This guy is, I guess, coming up on the anniversary of becoming internet famous by, well, let's be, put the hay down there with the horses and get after it, by almost dying.
Yes. Very fortunate gentleman.
Yes, and we'll talk about his story and also a little teaser, some videos and pictures coming up on our social media pages about that as well. They're bill fishing in the Gulf. The season has gotten started, so they're in the tournament right now. Got that going on.
Orange Beach Classic.
Billfish Classic.
Billfish Classic, yeah.
And, it is summertime because they're bill fishing. And, oh, yeah, by the way, T-minus less than 1 week, snapper season.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's all here. It's all happening.
One of the things we've got to talk about is where are we going to launch our boats?
You did a little, and that's probably what we'll start with here, too. You did a on-the-scene exploration.
Flyby.
of the, and we've talked about this with Director Bannon. We've been talking about it. For us, it's funny how this news story a couple of weeks ago became this big news story, and we'd all kind of looked at each other and said, well, we have been talking about this since the boat show.
Yeah.
Not that we're crazy that's happening, but we were aware of it, a lot of people unaware of it, and that's work being done down at a couple of different boat launches, but the one you went to, Billy Goat Hole.
Billy Goat Hole, yep, and it is a mess down there.
Okay, so the idea what is happening, and yeah, they're calling you from Billy Goat Hole, but
yeah.
what's happening is they are moving, let's see if I say this correctly, they're moving the launch north.
They're moving the land mass north,
yeah.
I guess is what you would call it. The launch ramp and the land. They're making land.
Kind of where you saw it. So you saw it this last week.
Yeah.
So does the land go as far as the walkways used to? Or?
Well, they got a big screen up. You can't really see real good. You can't really tell what's going on. They got a big excavator in there. But you just can't tell what they're doing real well because they got this black screen up. So
well, we know from the description of it when we're talking to Scott Bannon with Marine Resources, the idea would be, I mean, obviously, we all know anybody who launches a Billy Goat Hole, there's some of the launches, some of the ramps are better than others, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, over time you get to where, like, pull over there, go to that one, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could only launch it the West 2.
Mm-hmm. The ones on the east,
I couldn't launch it good because bottom of my trailer would drag.
So that was an issue. The way the walkways, called the piers or whatever, you know, the things you tie up to, those things were getting pretty bad.
Yep.
And but the big change is not just proving that; it's changing how far a vehicle and a trailer hangs out in the road there on Dolphin Island.
They're changing the land mass. What they're doing. I mean, the land is going to go further north. They're going to make land where there is water now.
Right.
And the launch ramp is going to be further out into Billy Goat Hole.
So it's going to be further north. Like, where the boat floated in the past to Billy Goat Hole will be land.
Land, yes.
So that gives you an idea. And it's my truck a little bit of Mike's combo is a pretty good example. Between your boat is
35,
and your truck is probably it's long. I mean, you get
I don't know what
big
14, 15 foot or whatever.
Yeah, big GMC.
Yeah.
So the combo of that and the stretch between the bow of the boat and your truck. I mean, you're looking at a long. I mean,
yeah,
50 feet maybe. Combined
that or longer.
Yeah. So with your boat set up in mine, now my truck is same thing, 14 so feet long, my boat's 25, you know. So there are a lot of times that you're launching, but to pull up and get straight and everything, that truck, you're in the road.
Yeah.
Where people are trying to go east and west down Dolphin Island.
Not only that, I mean the way it's set up at Dolphin Island is you almost run in the ditch over by the campground.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get turned around in there, especially if you got heavy traffic down there. A lot of people trying to launch a boat at the same time.
Maybe like what's coming up on on a Memorial Day weekend or a 4th of July weekend or, a, you know,
opening
Saturday
day of
morning.
Snapper
yeah.
season.
Yeah.
And I went down, also went down to Lanier.
Yeah.
Which is down by the Circle K.
Which is the one I started using last yeah. year. A lot of people call it, it's Lanier Landing. People call it the one on Allo Bay, but Lanier
right.
Landing. Yeah, it's.
So I went
what
down
about
it
for you? Because I can make that launch. What about you?
I can make the launch, but I can't make the parking.
Yeah, parking's a little small for you.
Too small. I mean, I looked at
the one of the bigger trailers in that.
I looked at the trucks and trailers in there. They looked like they were 25 foot and less.
Yeah, which is me,
know?
Yeah.
So mine would just stick out too far, so I can't park there. So the only
But the ramp would work for you. If you could find somewhere else to park, that
yes.
ramp would work. Because, I mean, the ramp's been good for me there.
Yeah, the ramp's fine. I mean, I've got a couple places I could park my truck and trailer
right.
on the island.
But not everybody's got that.
Yeah, but not only that, I mean, just having to get my boat around to pick me up, too, that's an
yeah.
issue.
Yeah.
You know, I guess I could launch my boat, go drop my trailer off, and come back in my truck and park my truck there.
Yeah, that's a lot going on.
You know, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And the other option is I can launch my boat at Little Billy Goat Hole. And it's pretty tight in there,
mm-hmm.
but I can launch my boat there. But then you got to go park down at the Big Billy Goat Hole.
Yeah, with your trailer, you can't do those right across. Like sometimes yeah. I'll be able to park right there or right facing the fort.
Yeah,
but yeah, you have more trailer and truck.
So I got to go way down and park my truck, and then you know walk all the way back. I mean that's a pretty big deal unless I can find a place down there that somebody can pick me up. So it's a little complicated right now. Then you got Bala Battery. You know, you launch your boat at Bala Battery right now, but they're getting ready to start that project. I don't know when.
No, but I think the way, and we could go back, and honestly, we should go back and listen to our own podcast of our conversation with Scott. I think it doesn't start till this one's done.
Okay.
I think I'm right. By the way, too, I want to throw this in the mix, and we'll come right back to it. I got a note from our buddy Jeff Collier, mayor of Dauphin Island. He said, just wanted to let you know, there's about the establishment of a courtesy shuttle service on the island's east end while Billy Goat Hole remains under construction. Spoke with the owner of the Beach Shack, the home of the pink golf carts, and they plan to begin service on May 22nd from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. They may adjust the schedule based on volume, weather, et cetera. The boating public needs to know about, he says, I think this is something the boating public would want to know about as they plan where to launch, especially during the upcoming snapper season. So, that's the mayor saying that there's going to be that golf cart service there.
Well, that don't help me.
It doesn't help you, but there's
I'll
other.
I launch my boat Mike, at 4:30 in the morning.
Mike, this show is for other people than just you, Mike Ward.
No, it's not. I mean, I need shuttle service.
Yeah, 7 a.m. Mike at that point is in about 600 feet of water by 7 a.m.
You know, and then I get back at 8 or 9 o'clock. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's for everybody else.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who comes. There's very few people that go out at 7 o'clock in the morning and come back at 2.
No, that's true. But there's a window. There's a – talking some snapper tactics for a second. This isn't about the snapper. It's about the people.
Yeah.
Something you saw me do for some years, and that luxury when I was staying on the island, is I would wait and go the afternoon shift.
Yeah.
And when, 2 o'clock came and everybody's coming in, and then I'd launch and there'd be a good parking spot for me.
Right.
And we'd go out and we'd fish till we'd come in at dark.
Yeah.
And it there were fewer people. I mean, it didn't always, clear out the same way, but often so if you're looking for a way, you go, man, I have no patience to go see what's getting ready to happen at, you talk about four in the morning is busy.
Yeah.
But you start talking about 6 a.m, every boat possible.
Everybody, 6, 7 o'clock. So, everybody's down there trying to launch a boat.
So y'all just think about this. I mean, it's something I did for years that's worked for me pretty good is say, and take the afternoon shift.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, if you live at the island, they will do that.
Or even if you want to roll the dice on it, I'm just telling you, more times than not, I would show up 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock, and boats are just steady coming out. You're like the one person putting in.
Yeah.
They're all coming out, and you got a better parking place. Now, it doesn't matter right now because Billy Goat Hole is going through that construction, but literally the same thing will be true at Little Billy Goat Hole.
Absolutely.
The people that left at 6 in the morning or 5 in the morning are usually coming back 2 or 3. They're leaving, going home. and gives you a chance. I don't know. It's it has nothing to do with catching the snapper. It has to do with saving your patience at the boat launch.
It depends on how far you're going out, too. You're not going very far out.
And I don't know.
You're going 20 miles, 30 miles out. Yeah. So, you know, that's not an issue either. So, anyway, it's going to be a mess. There's no question about it. This year is going to be a really big challenge to get your boat launched and get everything situated down there. It's going to be a mess.
Now, you mentioned the Bayou, and let's start this off before we'll come back after the break and talk more about it. That's where we launched with Bobby.
Right.
Which is, you know, I told you that you and I talked about that. I launched there a lot of times to go snapper fishing myself because I live in West Mobile County.
Right.
So for me, it's not bad to come down the west side of the county.
Closer for you.
It is closer for you. It's about 40 minutes from my house to get to that launch. Yeah. And it's
They're good launches.
And good launches. Yeah. But there was a problem with the one they fixed it. There's one that was not great. My trailer would fall off of it, but they fixed that. A good launch, and for snapper fishing, you just head out and go out. You know, if I'm fishing, you know, I go around the west end of Dolphin Island and then I'm heading to my spots, or, you know, a lot of times we'll camp for the weekend out of the boat and leave from there. So the Bayou launch, which does need a facelift, but it's serviceable. Yeah, they're going to get it, but it's serviceable. Yeah. So, it's one that I have taken to using that a good bit as well. So, we left out of there and went and chased some speckled trout.
Yeah.
And we had, so it was Captain Bobby Abrascato took Mike Ward and I, which is, I don't know if that's allowed. You know how the president and vice president can't be on the plane at the same time?
Right.
I don't know how it was legal to have you and I and Bobby on the boat at the same time. It happens, but it happens rarely. I mean, it had been too long since the three of us got together. And then we brought in a new one. Easton Barrett. So Easton Barrett, you'll remember, this is the guy that last year he and his buddies were heading out to go snapper fishing and sunk there off Petty Boy Island.
Yeah, they were about 15 miles out, I believe. Isn't that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And they survived because one of the crew, his girlfriend said, y'all take my dad's EPIRB, my PLB, and save their life. We'll talk more about that and our trip when we come back right here on FM Talk 106.5. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And yeah, so got to get the band back together.
Yep.
Captain Bobby, you and I fishing together. I think, you know, the last time we fished together was offshore.
We did.
Yeah. So
offshore.
Some years later, we go inshore, had a good trip.
This is the first time
we've ever fished with him on his boat.
With him, right? On his boat, yes.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So it was a first.
Yes.
And you know, it was fun. We took a quick trip. It was, you know, of course it was dangerous time for all
Mother's
of us. It was Mother's
Day.
We're all very brave, to go fishing for a little while on Mother's Day morning and get to see, the moms in our lives later on in the day. But yeah, Easton went with us and, you know, you can go back in the archives and listen to his story, but it's pretty well known. He and his crew, their boat sunk. And sunk. We had, we talked to him at the boat show, but we talked more about it while we were on the boat out there, how fast that boat sunk.
It was unbelievable how fast it sunk.
I mean, we all have, you know, thoughts. Mike and I have always talked, and Mike's always been a big one on having seacock valves and ways to shut off through hole. But and all these things they're more of a slow sink kind of item, but can be a big deal. He said that boat it went down so fast.
45 seconds.
Yeah.
He said it was gone.
Y'all think about that too. You get this sense that I'm gonna have time to figure stuff out. Right, like if my boat sinks, I'm gonna have time to get my ditch bag, get everybody the life jackets, get the.
No, 45 seconds is not much time to do anything.
And so they had one of the PLBs on them, a rescue link PLB on them, because one of his buddy's girlfriends took it from her dad's boat and said, "Hey guys, just on a whim, y'all take this today," and it saved their life.
How lucky is that?
It's unbelievable. It saved their life.
Yep. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that.
And he, you know, he goes back, and you can listen to the interview, how fast, number one, they sunk, how quickly they started drifting, and they were nowhere near where they had been.
I think they were like 15 miles further to the east
from
where they actually sunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
So nobody was looking for them there, but they had the PLB, and they gave off the signal, and they found them. So it's just you know, and it's funny, I've got, you'll see the pictures when they go up. Easton, rightfully so, he wears his on his belt. It's not even like on my boat, it's on the deck, but his is on his belt with him. But it's this piece, you know, as you get out, it's National Safe Boating Week, and, you know, has kicked off. And just, I'm just going to push you on. Mike and I have been talking about it for a long time. Easton's story is way more compelling than Mike and I just nagging you about it. But it's, you know, people say, well, they're a lot, you know, between $400 and $500.
Right.
You get one of these. What do you spend to fill up the gas tanks on your boat in a couple trips, you know? Well, your boat, well,
you're right.
Two trips, I mean, you've paid for this, and it saves your life.
Yeah.
You know? Hopefully God hopes you never use it.
That's right.
Hopefully you say, one day you're laying down on your deathbed saying, I got ripped off with that thing, you know? Good.
You know, and I've got one of those too. And I've got also a Garmin InReach.
We have a PLB and a Garmin InReach.
And also my VHS sends off a SOS signal. So we've got three different ways to get somebody to come to us. Of course, if that boat's underwater, the VHF's not working.
Yeah, and I mean, you can set off the signal, hey, we're sinking.
Yes.
But just like they did, you get separated from the boat.
15 miles is a long way for somebody
to
be looking.
So they
got to
be looking for you, and that's why that beacon that goes with you is so important to ping where you are. And also, just a side note, too, were you standing there? We were cleaning fish, and Easton grabbed his cooler.
Yeah.
Put a picture. The cooler that they hung on to in that video, Clutch for Life, he still has that Yeti cooler.
Wow.
In the back of his truck.
He's never going to give that up.
It was really cool that I was like, is that the key? He said, oh, yeah, that's the cooler. He's still riding that one in the back of his truck. So, pretty cool stuff. So, the fishing trip had a good. We fished for a few hours catching trout, speckled trout, and white trout.
Yep.
We fished shallow early.
Redfish.
Yeah. Big redfish.
Yeah.
We fished shallow early, throwing top water and then throwing voodoo under a rattle cork.
But it was not as good as a normal day because the water was nasty.
Yeah, it was interesting.
That storm just went through that tore up Dolphin
Island. It
wasn't
just nasty. It was tan. It was like, you know, like if you're in the Escatapa, you know, that kind of color, that pine.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, we were very fortunate to catch what we caught. Mm-hmm. But Bobby, I mean, he's always going to find your fish, no matter what the conditions are.
Yep.
Yeah, but it could have been better if the water conditions would have been
sure.
a little bit better. But it was a really nasty water condition.
It was a ton of fresh water that night before.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got enough rain that it had just flooded out there. But, yeah, we stayed on this. But the thing is, we caught those fish shallow, which you'd think, okay, you get dingy water, you're usually going to go shallow.
Right.
So we caught them there early. But then we caught them deep later, too. Yeah. So, and the trout were eating, of course. It was right there on that full moon that we just got past, but that'll happen again here coming up in June. But trout fishing was good. But I say they were doing it because even the smaller fish, right, that I kept some fish, even smaller fish, they had a bunch of roe in them. I mean, spawn was, the ones that weren't buck trout, they had plenty of roe, and then caught quite a few of my favorite white trout.
Yep.
They got eaten this last week.
You want to eat them the day you catch them or the day after you catch them?
And I do like, I mean, and that's the thing we've talked about before. If you don't, you know, white trout don't freeze very well at all. But if you eat them, by the way, they're just as good as speckled trout.
To me, they're better.
Yeah, they may be a bit better.
Yeah, to me, they are. The taste of them is better than a speckled trout, to me.
But they're, so take that into account, too. If you're, you know, want to go easy on the speckled trout, you know, go work over some white trout.
Yeah,
the population can handle it. So it was a good trip with Captain Bobby, and hopefully we get to do that again real soon. But we'll put some of those pictures and video up on our social media here soon, and check those out. All right, snapper season. We talked about the boat launch part, of course. Snapper season, when it gets started, a little bit different this year. If y'all hadn't been paying attention, so in the month of going from when we start here this coming Friday on Friday,
right,
through we're fishing through June. So what we've been on for, I don't know how many years now, but it's been the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, right? We've had limited weeks to try to slow down, you know, the catch ratio. But honestly, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday don't account for much for number of caught.
Very few.
So
I would think, at least that's my and your theory.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. It? So what we're doing this year, they've instituted, so through the month of June, and it may, I got to check what it does in July, if it goes through Independence Day or not. But I know this, in the month of June, we're fishing every day of the week.
Yes.
So once it gets started, the old weekend thing is not a deal during June. So if you see somebody on a Wednesday catching snapper, it's okay.
That's right.
In June. That's so that has been a change.
And then in July, whenever it starts back to regular, it should be a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday.
Right. Goes back to that 4-day deal. But I'll have to check, and we'll check before next week's show. Does that happen at the beginning? Gosh, shame on me for forgetting. I don't know if it happens just at the beginning of July or it goes through Independence Day. Because, you know, usually we have that extra. Even when we were on the 4-day weekends, we had the Independence Day week, you could fish the whole thing.
And so, I know we talked about it, but I'm like you, I can't remember. But I think it does go through the 4th of July weekend.
It may. Yeah. The part I'm certain on is we're sitting here without it in front of me. I know June, you can fish every day of the week. So that's coming up.
Don't listen to us. Check and see what you
can do. July, yeah. Yes, yeah, you can listen to me on the June thing. But for the July, tell you what, maybe this is a good time of year too. We tell everybody about good apps to have, and the one you and I both run is called Fish Rules,
right?
And not sponsored by Fish Rules. Don't even know anybody there. It's just the one that works for me. If you're looking, and I get it on. I have an Android phone, so I get mine on Google Play. You've got an iPhone. You go to the App Store, but it's just the word Fish and then Rules, RULES.
Yep.
You know, Z or kind of crazy. It's just Fish Rules, and so when you download the app, which is cool. Which I've liked about it, too, is I travel. If I'm in Louisiana or if I'm in Florida, it'll take your GPS location and give you the regulations for where you are.
That's right.
So it I lets you know. Yeah, that's a good thing. You go and, you know, snapper season's different in Louisiana than it is in Alabama. Mississippi, it tell you, and it also will tell you what's open, what's closed. You know, you go, okay, can I keep a trigger? Can I not keep a trigger? You know, what's the, what's amberjack? Is it in or out? What grouper can I keep and not keep? So it's called Fish Rules. It's a great app. I mean, which is much as, because you're dealing with state law, but you're also dealing with federal law on these reef fish species. That stuff changes and closes and reopens and all that stuff. And you and I have been doing this forever. And we still sometimes go,
I can't remember. Yeah. I mean, I just can't. I mean, just like coming up next Friday, can we catch amberjack and triggerfish? I can't remember.
So you go to the Fish Rules app. So, and once again, y'all, it's a free.
And he's doing it right now.
Yeah. And it's a free, there is like a fancier, I think, version, but you can get a free version. It's all I ever use. What they call it, the freemium. So right now, which I can't tell you what's going to be on Friday, but right now, a week before, Amberjack is closed. Okay. So I don't know what's going to be on Friday. You could look it up there. And that's the thing too, is when these things open and close, you can look the day of the fishing trip and see what's up. I would do this. I'd open up the app when you're on the way down the launch or something like that to have it, because if you get out where you don't have
signal, you can't get it. But if you open it up beforehand, you will have it out.
That's right. So make sure you open it up and give it a little shake there before you leave and have it in like triggerfish right now. Which is not next week, is open.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the overlay on that's going to be.
I thought they had the season on there, too. It doesn't have the season?
No, it just opens and closes. Now, you can go to the state page and website and stuff and see that. But with the Fish Rules app, it just tells you, as of today, which is what I like.
Yeah.
It tells you right now.
What we can't catch today.
That's right. So use it and enjoy that out there as well, the Fish Rules app. All right. So we talked a lot of salty water fishing. Snapper and speckled trout. When we come back, Captain Wayne Miller is going to join us. Take it to the causeway, take it to the Delta, go chase some bass. He's been doing it pretty much every day that ends in Y, so we'll get a report from him coming up in just a couple minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And we'll bring our friend in this conversation, because when we just finished up, it's Captain Wayne Miller, and the crowd goes wild. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey, how y'all doing, man?
Doing good. So we want to figure this out, because Mike and I ended up the last segment, we were talking about this thing called the Fish Rules app we use for offshore fishing, right, that shows us, all right, is triggerfish open? Is it closed? Is amberjack open? Is it scamp closed? Is scamp? Or? What can I fish? You know, where I'm in Louisiana, how many snapper can I keep? What about Alabama at the same? So you got that for bass. Is the bass season open, Captain Wayne? Or you got to check your app on that?
I don't have to have an app for that particular situation. I pretty well know. I can assure you we're open 12 months a year.
Yeah. See, it is a little bit easier on the freshwater front. I mean, you know your limits, you know, size of, but there's not like season closure. You're not like, man, is brim open? I don't know. Check the app. See if that's open or not. Oh, my gosh. You know,
it really is funny, though. A lot of times I'll be out on the water and I'll have people call me and they'll say, man, you know, we're bass fishing, but man, we just caught a couple of redfish. What's mm-hmm. the slide on those? How many can you keep? I mean, it's amazing how many people, here on the Delta catch different species, and they really don't know what the regulations are associated with.
No, that's a good point. I mean,
they're bass fishing. Yeah. They're not redfishing. You know, they just accidentally catch redfish. When you catch them, you usually want to keep them.
But, you got a chance to be – catching flounder, catching speckled trout, catching redfish. Right. So I guess, my joke's only funny if you're north of about Coffeyville. And then the joke's real funny.
Yeah.
So I call you because it's easy to call you and talk about when the fishing conditions are perfect, right? And it's just everything's perfect. But it's also worth calling you when the conditions are tough, because you probably learn more about catching fish when conditions are tough than you do when they're real easy.
Yeah. The situation we've got right now, and most of the guys that have been out, they know, I mean, we've got extremely high water. I think the Mobile's supposed to crest tomorrow around 9.5 feet. So we've got flooded conditions over a lot of the Delta and even down along the causeway. I mean, I've had people call me, this week and say, man, everything's muddy. It looks horrible. And, that's the bad news. The good news is that based on the time of year and the water temperature, it's not like you're dealing with 50-degree water that's muddy.
Right.
When you start dealing with upper 70s, low 80-degree water, those fish they're active. Irregardless of what the water clarity is. Along with that, and we talked a little bit about it, you have to have realistic expectations, because with these type conditions, as far as what you're capable of going out and catching is usually greatly affected. One thing I kind of gauge that by, once we get into this time of year, on the bass, we start having these little small tournaments during the week. They have Tuesday tournaments, they have Thursday tournaments. And, a lot of times when the water's right on a Tuesday afternoon tournament, from 4:30 to 8 o'clock, it may take between 12, 15 pounds to win. Uh-huh. When our water's normal. Well, right now, this week, most of those tournaments, it took about 5 or 6 pounds.
Oh, man.
Okay.
So, five fish limit, 5 pounds. Yeah. Wins. That's pretty bad. Right.
It's a pretty good gauge, but, that's not out for, like an entire day. One of the things that greatly affects our fishery here, with these high water conditions is the wind. And unfortunately for us this week, if you guys have been out, you've been seeing the south wind, it's honking.
Yep.
Well, what that does, even though we've got an outgoing tide in the afternoon, that's what we've had, man, it pushes that water, and you got all that water coming down the river systems, and it just puffs everything up incredibly. Now, eventually, you know, the tide will, you know, it'll over, and the current in the main rivers will overcome that wind, and the water will push out. But the bad thing about that is, once that happens, the current is so strong, I mean, it makes it really hard to fish. And, you know, a lot of times with that type current, it'll just shut the fish down.
Yeah, I would, so let's talk about that. So with the conditions, because I would ask you something outside the Delta too, but let's say in the Delta with these conditions, if somebody just had to go catch a fish, whether a tournament or just going for fun, is there somewhere to, I mean, at 9 at Barry, it's pretty tough. I mean, you can't find, can you find anywhere the head of anything, even down towards the causeway, that may clear up more than the rest?
You know, a little bit, but it's really, you know, it gets to be a challenge. But, you know, what I typically try to tell people is, you know, if I have somebody call me and they're just looking for a place to go, I would definitely target some of the lakes that have, you know, the grass, aquatic vegetation, because anytime you've got that, you'll typically see, you know, a little more water clarity in those type areas. So, you know, I would target bigger lakes off the main rivers, like, you know, McReynolds, and go in there and run back in those creeks and find areas that have some grass. And, you know, and you just, you know, a lot of times you just have to, man, it may not be a power fishing situation. You may just have to, you know, pick up that flipping and pitching stick and just go to work with some soft plastic or a jig. And, you know, and that's the challenge, you know. I mean, a lot of times, I'm not saying you can't get on a bite, you know, a spinnerbait or crankbait, whatever, but typically that power fishing really gets hurt with these kind of conditions that we've got right now. And, you know, anybody that does a lot of bass fishing knows, you know, when the conditions get like this and that water clarity goes to just about nothing, you know, that bass, he wants to be up against something, you know, and they'll lock down on hard structure like logs and trees. But in order to catch them, you got to get in there and really pick it apart. And that's one reason, typically patterns associated with, you know, slower fishing like worms or jigs, is, typically a little better bet this time of year to actually go out and catch, numbers.
So right now in McReynolds, with the water being high, is it not coming through McReynolds right now?
Oh, yeah. It is. But, I mean, you can still get, you know, there's some water that's not as bad as, you know, that's blowing through the head.
So, okay.
None of it's good. It's just some of it's not as bad.
Man, I mean, you can't put it any better than that.
Yeah.
You gotta look for the least of the bad water.
So that's what I wanted to ask you, though. So, you know, you spend your time in the Mobile Tensaw Delta, but that isn't the only place that there's a bass around here. So I wanted to ask you this. What about when it's like this? Because like a Dog River, Fowl River, you know, on the other side, Fish River, they cycle through those rains faster, right? Because they don't have the same drainage. What about going, you know, I'll be in there, you know, trout fishing, you know, but see some guys who are definitely bass fishing in places like that. What about, you have any ideas about those places?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go and fish them a lot, especially when we have these kind of conditions. As a matter of fact, this past week, one of the tournaments that typically goes out of Cliffs on Thursdays, it was a morning tournament. Well, they moved it to Dog River. And, you know, I think it took 10 pounds to win it.
Yeah.
So, you know, but those rivers down there are definitely a good option, you know, if you're wanting to go find some really cleaner water, you know, because they're not affected.
I mean, now the day after a big rain, those places could be messed up, but like 2 days later, they, you know, a couple tide cycles, they seem to clean up a lot faster.
Oh yeah, they clean up incredibly fast, and but you know, there's from the standpoint of, you know, the number of fishermen, you know, typically most of the guys target the Delta, but when we get these kind of conditions, it'll dump a lot of people on those, you know, smaller rivers down there. And it's hard for them to absorb the traffic that we see on the Delta.
Sure.
In other words, you know, on a normal Saturday, you know, there may be, just out of Live Oak and Cliff Landing on the Tensaw River, there may be, you know, over 100 boats, you know, bass fishermen launch there. Well, you dump that many bass fishermen on Dog River, and, man, it gets crazy in a hurry.
With regular local traffic, too.
Yeah, right. You know,
the regular just boat riders and people just putting the boat in the water and riding around. Dog River can be tough to fish.
But what if y'all
Especially on the weekend.
Yeah. And this, you know, and you know, not only that, I mean, we're in a transition period because, you know, right now you've still got those, you know, really strange conditions from the standpoint of you got fish that have spawned, that have moved back out. You've got fish that are just pulling up. I mean, you know, all that spawn cycle, you know, it's just that. It's a cycle. And, you know, those waves of fish, they don't all spawn at one time. So you've got fish in a lot of different areas. And so, you know, from one respect, it kind of scatters the fish because even though conditions get tough for us during the summer, you know, a lot of fish pull back off on the main rivers and, you know, the deeper water. And it's a little easier actually to target them then than it is right now.
Okay, we're going to pick that up when we come back for the break. More Can't Wait Another right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, Gap Wayne Miller with us. And we talk about when the water does go out. You know, there's probably a lot of white perch fishermen like me. They're waiting for that to happen. But that's maybe another show. Gap Wayne, we were talking about this. And we were talking about it during the break as well. That, okay, conditions are tough right now. In the Delta, it's just no way to spin it any other way. Conditions are tough. Barry Steam Plant at 9. But then I started asking you about tidal rivers, right? And bass fishing in the tidal rivers around here, and you said that's something that is happening. One of the tournaments you said this last week, switched from Cliffs to Dog Rivers. That's a tell.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty common. I mean, and we, you know, that's not only on, you know, the west side, but, you know, the rivers over on the east side. I mean, down at Fish River and Bon Secure, I mean, there's, you know, I mean, you can go up and catch fish in any of those rivers. But, you know, one of the challenges, and we were talking about this during the break a little bit, and I'll mention it to everybody, is the fact that, you know, some of those areas and some of the rivers like Dog River, you know, and, you know, Sean, you made the comment, man, some of those places look so fishy, mm-hmm. and they really are. I mean, it's some really beautiful habitat. But one of the challenges is, like for Dog River, there's so much shallow, I'm talking about really skinny water. Now, I'm not going to tell you that there's not any bass that, you know, stay back in those areas, but the challenge is it's pretty limited just because of the fact that, you know, with normal tidal movement, you know, a lot of those areas, I mean, the water just completely dumps out of them. So, you know, there'll be fish move in there in the spring and spawn. But, you know, a lot of those rivers, you know, from the standpoint of the bass, a lot of them pull back out, you know, to get to a little deeper water because, you know, I mean, they're acclimated to that tidal movement. But, you know, they want water around.
Sure. And when you say they pull back out a little deeper water, like if you're looking at the back of the feeder creeks for Dog River, for example, what would you consider that depth that they're going to pull to? Is it 3 feet of water, 6 feet of water? What?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, three, 3 to 4 feet of water. You know what I mean? It, you know, as long as they've got cover, you know, and there's bait, and typically, you know, everywhere you get down there, there's, you know, there's bait for these fish. But you know, anywhere, you know, with that 3-4 foot of water, I mean, they're very comfortable in those kind of conditions. But, you know, a lot of those areas we were describing as far as the backs of those creeks and areas like Dog River, you know, you have to, you know, trim your motor all the way up. And you remember the old trick people put tackle boxes under their trolling motor to keep the trolling motor up a little bit where it doesn't dig in the bottom, you know, and, you know, move back in the head of those creeks. So, but it's, you know, and that's applicable, you know, to some of the rivers and lakes, you know, up in the, you know, above the causeway too. But, you know, like I say, this time of year, we've still got fish, you know, in that spawning cycle. So you still got fish up in this really skinny water. But as we transition into these, you know, much hotter conditions, you know, a lot of these fish pull back. So that's something to keep in mind when you start targeting some of these areas.
So when you fish the Dog River, a lot of what you're going to fish there are going to be piers and docks and stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You got some grass.
And by their nature, they're going to be in a little bit deeper water if somebody's got a dock, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be
a big place where you're going to be fishing for bass around people's docks, and you know sometimes they don't.
You know,
some people don't like it, Mike.
Some people don't.
That's such phenomenal habitat, because when you look at these docks, you know. And when you talk about the main delta, you know, up above the causeway, we just don't ever think about boat docks, even though that's a primary pattern on most inland reservoirs all mm-hmm. over the country.
That's right.
And the reason for that is it's just fantastic, you know, from the standpoint of habitat, you know, the cover, the shade, you know, you've got those fish can pull up right on the bank, or they can pull back off on the pilings. Depending on the time of day, the current, you know, so from the standpoint of having something to really target and fish, you know, for an area like Dog River, that's, you know, when you move back up in those creeks, that's kind of what I really pay attention to, you know, is I'll target those boathouses and stuff. But, you know, you really need to pay close attention to what that water depth is on them, because a lot of times, if you can just eliminate them if they don't have enough water on them, because it'll become pretty apparent quick, you know, if, you know, you hit 10 of them and, you know, the only ones you're catching fish on, you know, on the outside, you know, of the poles and the dock itself, you've got 3-4 foot of water. Anything shallow in that, you don't get bit at all on.
Right.
Yeah. The inspector,
you know, that enables you to, you know, to really be efficient using your time to target different docks.
Now, it's a great tip and a great takeaway there. But things are going to get better. The river's going to come down, and fishing's going to get cranked back up in the Delta. So tell folks how to get a trip booked with you. Get on the books now. How do they do it?
Yeah, they can reach me at 251-455-7404.
Captain Wayne, we appreciate it, man, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great
one. Thank you,
Wayne. There goes Captain Wayne Miller, and we'll do it again next week for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Y'all have a great one. Go catch some fish.